We're going to go ahead and just dig right into our text. So I'd like for us to all take a look at the Gospel of Luke. So go ahead and turn over to Luke chapter 5, and we're going to read the parable in verses 36 through 39 eventually. And what we want to do is set things up, though. The setting, of course, for this parable is that the Pharisees are questioning Jesus, always trying to trip him up on something, you know. But they're questioning him about fasting. The thing is, if you look back in the scriptures, besides the Day of Atonement, Leviticus 16:29 as one point of reference, there really wasn't any other time commanded by God to fast. Sure, you know, people fasted during times of mourning or calamity or for a variety of other reasons. Still, it was never really commanded. You see, for the Pharisees, they made the connection between fasting and spirituality because, you know, and rightfully so, you humble yourself before God when you fast. But taken to the extreme, this meant that the more someone fasted, well, then the more spiritual you were. And so the Pharisees would brag about who fasted when, how much, and how long, and so on, you know. It's like, I haven't eaten anything for 10 days. I haven't eaten anything for 15 days. I didn't know. Anyway, I'm really spiritual. Anyway. And so starting back in verse 33, it says, the Pharisees said to him, Jesus, John's disciples, often fast and pray, and so do the disciples of the Pharisees. But yours go on eating and drinking. Jesus answered, can you make the guest of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them. In those days, they will fast. You see, the point that Jesus is trying to make is that the commandment to fast is not applicable at this time because A, it's not the Day of Atonement, not yet until the cross, really. And B, there's no reason to mourn. As a matter of fact, it's a time of rejoicing and celebrating. But one day, when Jesus is taken to the cross, his disciples will mourn. And so he told them this parable in verses 36 through 39. He says, no one tears a patch from a new garment and sews it on an old one. If he does, he will have torn the new garment. And the patch from the new one will not match the old. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the new wine will burst the skins. The wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, new wine must be poured into new wineskins. And no one after drinking old wine wants the new, for he says, the old's better. You see, what Jesus has done here is he's taken an everyday item that they would be familiar with. Well, first of all, you've got clothing, right? And, you know, if your clothing wears, you put a patch on it, you try to patch up something that's old and worn and ripped with something new, it's got nothing to latch onto. You just end up making it worse. Besides, it's not going to look the same. So he's definitely wearing a patch. Now, okay, I've had patch clothes, you have to, but you know what I mean. It wears out over time. All right. So Jesus knows that. He shares that with them. And then he uses the illustration of the wineskin, you see. You know, they're familiar with wineskins more than we are. I've never had a wineskin. I'm sure they probably had them, used them, ate them all the time, right? A wineskin was usually made from a complete hide of an animal. So you don't want yourself a cow wineskin. That's like, you know, you want usually a goat or sheep. And, you know, then Jesus stated the obvious, that no one would take an old damaged wineskin that had been stretched and worn from the fermentation process, from just the time of being inside that skin and stretching, and put a new patch on it. And why? He said, well, again, well, you know, those materials aren't going to match. Plus, that new patch would cause that skin to tear. Wouldn't be any use anymore. And, you know, when you think about the wine going in there, the new skins, you see, they expand with that wine. Well, the old skins have already expanded and already been stretched and worn, so they, you know, they would end up bursting. The point being that the new covenant teachings and traditions of the Messiah and the coming Christian age aren't supposed to be mixed up with the Old Covenant teachings and traditions of the Tanakh, especially that of the Pharisees. And even though the New Covenant teachings and traditions are, in fact, better, Book of Hebrews goes to great length to tell us that, there will always be those who will go back to the Old Covenant teachings because they're comfortable with them. It's the same with the old life and the new life. You're comfortable with them. People go back. And so, like the old wine, Jesus says, they need to move on. Sure, that old wine was good, but the new wine is where God wants the church to move to, forward, not backward to the old. And so, with today being the last day of 2017, we want to go ahead and look back and remember the passing of folks like Dorothy Zimmerman and Bill Hames. And there are others who weren't members here, but members and friends and family elsewhere that you're aware of. And I don't think I missed anyone this year. I looked through everything pretty well. We remember all the events, of course, and activities that the Lord had allowed us to do. Some were new, like the picnic and barbecue at the Orange Vale Community Park back in May. That was lots of fun, you know. I got to do some horseshoe throwing that I'd never really done before, and I didn't hurt myself or anybody else. Anyway, then there was our March in the Powwow Day parade or walk or run or whatever it was. But it was lots of fun. It really was. And October gave us our first trunk or treat, which was a good experience and lots of fun. And those things were all really wonderful times of fellowship and involvement and outreach. Of course, we still had the usual things, Moms or Us, Parents Night Out, movie nights, our Rome VBS, which was actually really fun. We had over 30 children. We had exactly 30 children by my count from 14 families during that 1 week. We also served 13 area families with Thanksgiving blessing baskets this year in November. Plus, we visited 4 homes during our Christmas caroling just a few weeks ago. And along the way, Boy Scouts built a new porch so that I can get in and out of the house without the fear of falling down and inviting people over without the fear of splinters in the hands. You know, we finally painted the building. Do I get an amen on that? All right. Okay, so it wasn't pink like you wanted, okay? But the building is painted, okay? All right. And we started doing some wonderful landscaping out front. I'd like to thank Gene and Richard for that and everything. Plants look really beautiful. We've made a commitment to fix the roof over here. And I know that George is working on that. So, you know, that's been pretty good stuff. But, you know, sadly, along the way, some of our members decided to leave us and go elsewhere. But then along came Trevor and Aubrey and now little Esther. And if you were here Wednesday night to Bible class, hint, 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 you would have seen little Esther. And if you weren't, then you won't probably for a while. Of course, also this past year, Jeannie was baptized into Christ. Deanne was baptized into Christ. June was, Emily was, and Janet was. Plus those working with WEI and WBS had a really good year reaching out. And baptisms happened because of that elsewhere around the world. Wonderful things. And of course, I don't want to forget all the tons of material, quite literally, that the print ministry put together, and all the cookies that get eaten in between, and all the other things that the Lord helped us to do. And I'm sure, you know, I missed some things, you know, but God remembers them all. And that's really what counts. We managed to mix up some old and new activities this year, and I think we really had a good year. And amen to that? All right. And while we could look back on 2017 with a little bit of a mixture of emotions, tomorrow is the first day of a new year. It's the first day of a new year. And while 2017 really wasn't that bad, I would hope that we pray that each and every one of us wants 2018 to be even better than 2017, you know, with even better community involvement and better outreach and more souls won, you know. But in order to do that, we sometimes have to leave behind some of our old traditions and move on to new and better ones. But no matter what we do, Christ always needs to be the focus of what we do. And so, like we read earlier from Colossians chapter 3 and verses 1 through 3, as Christians, since you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. You see, those of us who are Christians have experienced both an end and a beginning. We've put the past behind and we move forward. We've had a spiritual death and a spiritual rebirth. And along the way, all of our hopes and dreams and our purpose and our power are centered on Christ. And so our focus and our priorities aren't supposed to be centered in the things of this world, but instead are to be focused on the things of God. And like we talked about earlier this year, that can be often a real challenge. And that's because we still have to live in this world, and there's that inclination to go back to the old and the old ways. And we're having to deal with all the stresses and struggles that we face every day. And while focusing on spiritual things doesn't always get rid of all those stresses and struggles, it sure makes a big difference in our ability to be able to survive and thrive. And so in planning and preparing and performing for 2018, it's important for us to remain spiritually focused. To focus. This past year we focused a good deal, because the year before that we were like, what's going on? This past year's like, okay, this year's got to be, we're going, okay? So it's with that in mind that we want to spend the rest of our time this morning looking at New Year's priorities for spiritually focused 2018. And priority number one is to forget about yesterday. Okay, forget about it. The Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 3 and verses 13 and 14, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Now, we're not talking about not learning from our past, you know. We're talking about not dwelling on our failures, hurts, and disappointments. Or we all know that the Apostle Paul was a man who had some terrible things in his past that could probably have just weighed him down, and he wouldn't have been able to do anything if he let them. He had made some terrible mistakes that brought about a lot of suffering to others. And like Paul, we all have our failures and our hurts and our disappointments, but God doesn't want us dwelling on them. Instead, God wants us to come to him for forgiveness and healing about the pains and regrets of yesterday. Don't dwell on them, but seek God for forgiveness and healing. Think about it. If the forgiveness we have in Christ is God's greatest gift to us so that we can walk in newness of life, why do we somehow overlook it or forget it? Okay. So if God can forgive us because of Jesus, why not try forgiving yourself and quit living in the past and start living in the present? And that's a good place for us really to start the new year, to forget about yesterday. But what about tomorrow? Well, priority number two is don't worry about tomorrow. And again, I know that's easier said than done, and we're not talking about saying, okay, you know, we've got to do these things, you know, but the point is that tomorrow, if you're always worried about tomorrow, it could just be so overwhelming with all of the possible potential for pain and problems. Thankfully, though, Jesus gave us a prescription. Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 25, he said, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air, Jesus says. They do not sow or reap or stow away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And then picking up at verse 31, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Here Jesus promises us that God knows what we need and that God will provide what we need. Our job, no matter how difficult it might be then, is to trust God and to seek first his kingdom. And then all those things will be added as well. In other words, stay faithful. Stay faithful. Back over in Philippians chapter 4 and verses 6 and 7, Paul talked about those times when maybe you might experience anxiety. And he says, well, yeah, pray about it. Stay faithful and pray about it. He says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Of course, when you present that to God, you've presented it to God. Remember that you've just talked to God about your problem, okay? All right, so then you just leave it at the foot of God, right? And then the peace of God, verse 7 says, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Someone once rightfully noted that worry does not empty tomorrow of sorrows, it empties today of strength. Worry does not empty tomorrow of sorrows, it empties today of strength. You just keep worrying about things tomorrow, your today is going to be filled with nothing but anxiety and worry, and you've accomplished nothing today except losing an opportunity that God would have provided for you. And so our only hope and help is in trusting the Lord. And that means that whatever we face in the new year, we will be better off if we make it a priority to forget the past and not to worry so much about the future. Okay? Well, if we're to forget the past and not worry about the future, what about today? Well, priority 3 is to make today count. Make today count. The classic comedian Groucho Marx, the guy who's given every Halloween the opportunity for people to wear glasses, bushy eyebrows, a mustache, and have a cigar, okay? PC or not, the cigar is a part of the gig, okay? Anyway, Groucho Marx once said, yesterday is gone, tomorrow isn't here yet, I just have one day today, and I can choose how it shall be, and I choose to be happy. Groucho was a great guy. Anyway. You know, they're all Jews from New York. Interesting group. Anyway, a lot of people don't know that. They think, hey, you know, well, what about Chico Marx? Wasn't he Italian? No, he made that accent up. You know, and of course, their names weren't Groucho and all that, but that's another story for another time. Okay, but think about it, though. You know, the only day we have, and literally the only moment we have, is now. That's really it. Now. We're not promised tomorrow, and really, we're not promised even the rest of the day, but you have now. Psalm 118:24 says, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It didn't say yesterday is the day or tomorrow. This is the day. Rejoice and be glad in it now. In other words, as we try to take life one day at a time, make each day count. Now, keep on walking with the Lord along the way. You know, thank God. Rejoice in each day. Ask God to guide us and to help us to make each day count. So how do we do that? Well, that brings us up to the next four principles, if you have your sermon list, your sermon notes, which are really just ways to make each day count. Principle 1 is to help every person you can. Help every person you can. I know that sounds like a lot, but when we focus all of our attention on ourselves, we tend to get all lost in ourselves. We get lost in our struggles, worry about everything about ourselves, oh, throw a little pity party for yourself, whatever it is. But when we go ahead and turn our attention outward to others, then we realize what an amazing blessing it is to help others. Okay. Now, no one is saying that we're supposed to help everyone that we see. That would be impossible. But we should help everyone that we can. Okay? You can't help everybody, but you can help some. None of us can help everyone, but each of us can help those that we can. Okay? Think about it. Everyone that we come into contact with is facing some kind of a challenge or is carrying some kind of a heartache. It might not show on their face, but it's somewhere inside. Of course, our own personal struggles or heartaches might be bigger or smaller than theirs from what we know, I don't know, but that doesn't make a difference. They're still experiencing difficulties too. We're really all the same, more so than we like to admit. And so if we're simply seeking to be a blessing to everyone we meet, then in that process, we'll both be blessed. Over in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, the Apostle Paul wrote, "Therefore, as we have an opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers." And just a chapter earlier, a little further up, if you're looking at a Bible on your screen or your text, Paul beautifully summarized the Christian life with these words, saying, "The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love." Galatians 5, 6. Think about it. Living for Christ is all about loving and giving. Just think about how great 2018 could be if we focus on others and to try to help every person that we can to be more like Christ. Another principle to help us to make each day count is to keep your heart pure. Back in the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5, verse 8, Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." Think about that again. Well, pure in heart, what's so special about that? Well, pure water is simply the best tasting water. Don't want water with particulate in it. No thank you, you know. Pure sugar makes the best cookies, so I've been told. And pure diamonds make a girl's best friend. Sometimes, I guess, but seriously, you know, do we really want all kinds of impurities in our food and water? Of course not. We'll get sick. It's the same with our spirituality, right? We don't want all kinds of impurities in there. We want the pure water of Jesus and the pure bread that he has to offer. The word of God, you know. Unfortunately, people tend not to care so much about the kinds of garbage that does get in their hearts. You know, and, you know, you could, there's a whole list of it. Evil desires, resentments, jealousy, hatred, thoughts of revenge. It's the fruits of the sinful nature, or the deeds of the flesh, as it may be in Galatians chapter 5. You know, those things, those kinds of things just kind of eat away at you like a cancer. They poison our hearts and they block our ability to see God and really experience the kind of spiritual life that God wants us to have, has meant for us to have. That's why in the passage right after the one that we had as our scripture reading this morning, in Colossians 3, Paul wrote this. He said, "Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry." You're worshiping yourself. Those who are greedy are worshiping things. "Because of these, the wrath of God is coming," Paul writes in verse 6. He says, "You used to walk in these ways." Remember, he's writing to Christians. "In the life you once lived, but now, as a Christian, you must rid yourself of all these things: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge of the image of its creator." You know, we need to put off the old and move forward with the new, you know, in our lives and in everything else, really. Again, no one's saying that that can be easy or is easy. Actually, it's really kind of hard sometimes. Even the Apostle Paul confessed in Romans chapter 7 that he sometimes struggled to do what he knew was right. But that doesn't mean that we should just give in and do what's wrong and go back to the old ways. You see, if we give in to temptation and evil and allow it to live in our hearts, then we'll have strayed off the path of Christ and gone in over to the dark side, you know. So how do we stay on the path of light and life? Well, thankfully, God has given us Jesus to follow, and Jesus will lead us in the way that we should go. And whenever we stumble or fall off that path or choose to take a detour off the path, and people do choose that more than we like to admit, Jesus is there to help us get back on the right track. He's there through you and me, through his church, through his body. The body of Christ, you see. Over Romans chapter 7 and verses 24 and 25, in reflection of his own struggles, Paul said, "What a wretched man am I! What a wretched man am I! Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." And so go ahead and thank God, you know. Thank God that there is hope for us, that we might have a pure heart and a pure life because of Jesus. Another principle to help us to make each day count is to renew your strength daily. Take a look at Isaiah chapter 40. This is a beautiful passage. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 28 through 31. And this is here actually written inspired of God through the prophet Isaiah, to tell Israel, to remind them about their doubts about God and how it's foolish to do that, really. So Isaiah says, God speaking, you know, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Again, that's a beautiful passage. You know, we've got songs based on that passage, cards, posters, whatever, you know. It's a beautiful piece of text. And I don't know about anyone else, but I need some of that, you know. I really do. Think about it. You know, just like our bodies need daily nourishment from food and water, so does our spirit. Spiritual food, spiritual drink, you see. And so we need daily nourishment for our souls. And just, can we get that anywhere? Not at your local, you know, like Safeway or something? Well, of course not. You know, we've got it right here in the Word. Psalm 1 gives us the answer that we need right to that question. Psalm 1, first three verses says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight, verse 2 says, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Again, you just have to think about what's pictured there, right? I see a tree, I see a stream of water, right? You can picture it, right? This is a healthy tree, and it's really thick. It's got branches, it's got fruit, it's got little animals living in it. It's a happy scene. You know, there's Bambi and Snow White singing over there, you know. Anyway, you know, but you see, it gets all that it needs to survive and to thrive because it's planted on rich soil near those streams, near that stream of water, you see. And the second verse tells us, of course, that this is in comparison to someone who delights in the law of the Lord. That's the stream. Someone who meditates on this law day and night, who meditates on the Word of God, you see. You know, just about every year this time, people make the resolution to read through the Bible in a year or something like that. They want to read God's Word daily. And while a lot of people start out with good intentions, for some reason, maybe a couple of days, maybe longer, you know, it doesn't work out for a lot of people. In the years past, I've tried to include a daily reading schedule for people to use at the beginning of every year. And this year, I've gone ahead and attached one to your bulletin. Okay? And it's a different kind of reading schedule. It's a chronological daily reading schedule. You can have a chronological Bible. I personally find that harder to carry along with my other Bible. It's nice to read at home, but this you can tuck into your regular Bible, okay? So if you've never tried anything like that, here's something new to try if you've never tried it, okay? Maybe that will help you to read God's Word daily again. Whatever. You don't have to use that plan. You could use whatever plan. You can simply read the Bible from beginning to end at your own pace. Either way, the point is, you need to be by that stream of water, okay? And make each day count and renew your strength. We need to make it a priority to spend some time every day with the Lord, reading His Word, talking to Him in prayer, meditating upon things. Think about Jesus. He often made time alone to be with God. He wouldn't go through a day, I would say never, ever, you know, to not have some time alone with God. And so it should only follow that his disciples, that's you and me, well, we should do the same thing in order to renew our strength. All right. Well, the last principle that we're going to look at today to help us to make each day count in 2018 is to act on God's promises and commands. Over in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9, Paul summarized his instructions to the Philippian Christians saying this. He said, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in practice, put it into practice and the God of peace will be with you. He said, you've seen me do all this. Now do it. You've read about it all in the scriptures. You've heard all the Bible lessons. You've heard all the sermons. Now do it. Okay? You know, there's simply no substitute for faith and obedience, for trusting and obeying. God is pleased when we trust in his promises and act on his commands. To obey is better than sacrifice, 1 Samuel 15:22. Think about it. God has given us so many opportunities in 2017, and he has blessed us, and we've been able to accomplish, with God's help, a good deal in 2017. But it's not over till it's over. And so when 2018 begins in about 12 hours, we need to continue making it a priority to claim God's promises and keep on walking by faith, meaning that if there's something that God wants us to do, then let's act on God's promises and commands and do it. That's it. Do it. Tomorrow's the first day of a new year. Got new possibilities, new attitudes, new hearts. It's time to just start over, you know. Well, may God help us all to make it the best year for the Orangevale Church and for every one of us. And to help us do that, we said that we should forget about yesterday and not worry about tomorrow, but instead make today count by helping every person that we can, by keeping our hearts pure and renewing our strengths daily and acting upon God's promises and commands. Remember, it's all meaningless without God. It really is. It all is. God gives life meaning, gives us purpose. And so how could anyone go wrong by focusing their life on serving God? The answer is you can't. May God bless us all as we walk with him and serve him in 2018. Well, as always, we'd like to offer the invitation of Christ, the invitation to follow him, to become a Christian. And so if there's anyone here today who isn't a Christian, then know that all you need to do is simply believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And upon your belief, turn to him in repentance, accepting the life that Jesus has to offer you and confessing him as your Lord and Savior. Commit yourself to him by being immersed in the watery grave for the forgiveness of your sins. And then, rising up out of the water, you continue to live your life for him, confessing him daily in all that you say and do until he comes back again or you go to be with him. Or possibly there's some other prayer concern that wasn't mentioned that we need to make everyone aware of, or maybe you have some other need that we can help out with. Whatever the need, as always, I'd like to encourage you to come forward as together we stand and sing the song that was selected.